and welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. My name is Jennifer Marsman, and I am super excited because today I have with me Ashley Gullen from Skira. Ashley, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Nice to meet you.
Very good to have you here. So Ashley and I have been communicating by email for a very long time now because Ashley's company, Skira, creates an amazing game creation tool called Construct 2. And Ashley has recently added support for Windows 8, and now I understand is also adding support for Windows Phone 8 to this tool. Now, Construct 2 is so cool, you guys. So what you can do is very easily add sprites onto a layout, and then there's an event page, which is essentially if-then logic, that allows you to very easily wire up a game, just put together game logic and create very compelling, addictive games. And so I've been using it. I actually have a couple of games that are going to go in the Windows Store that are created using Construct 2. And the thing that's really cool about it is that it's then exported into JavaScript and HTML5. So you can see all the code that's generated. You can play with the code if you need to, all of that good stuff. And so Ashley currently had support for, I believe, Android and iOS and several different platforms just to export as regular. HTML5 was an option as well. And now he's added support for the Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 that I'm super excited about. So Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your company and why did you add this support for Windows 8 and just about the tool and how you got this idea?
Well, we're a little software startup based in Southwest London. We've been working on this kind of game creation tool for several years now. Construct 2, which started about a year and a half ago now, the engine's based entirely in HTML5, so that makes all the games easily portable to lots of platforms. And when Windows 8 came out, we thought that was really cool because Windows 8 supports HTML5 apps as first-class apps, so you can make a native Windows 8 app purely in HTML5. That made it really easy for us to port Construct 2 games to Windows 8. So that's how we got started, and the Windows 8 has got great support for HTML5. So.
Well, it's very cool. It's very good stuff. Well, why don't we take a look at the tool? Would you mind showing it to us?
Sure thing, yeah. Okay, so here's the Construct 2 main window. You've got your layout here in the middle, which is where you place all your objects. There's the another tab at the top here for the event sheet, which is where you put all your logic blocks in your drag and drop programming system. So you don't need to use coding to know how to use the events. And using these two views, you can create any kind of 2D game pretty much. So what I thought I'd do is take you through a quick example of making a simple physics-based game, because one of Construct 2's features is we've got the Box2D physics engine integrated. So if I just show you quickly what I'm going to be working towards, here's something I made earlier, and if I just preview that and bring it up, there's a little pig at the top here. If you click on blocks, the pig falls down, and that's your kind of simple physics puzzle game, because you have to, if you pick out the wrong blocks, you'll fall off and it's game over.
And
if you manage
cool.
to get them down in the right order and destroy all the blocks, it will say congratulations and start again. So that's just a nice simple little demo I thought I'd come up with.
Oh, very cool.
So shall I take you through the steps and how to make this kind of game?
Yes, that would be awesome.
Okay, so I'll just start back from scratch. So here's an empty project. And the very first thing to do is you want to import a sprite object. And a sprite is just the primitive building block of a game in Construct 2. A sprite is basically an image, and you can move it around, test for collisions, all that kind of thing. And in a Windows Explorer, I've got some PNG files, just ordinary image files. And to import one, all you can do is drag and drop that into Construct 2, and it's created a sprite object with that image. That's a nice and quick way to start getting your images in your game. And if I click Run Layout, there you can see there's my layout, and there's a little pig at the top there. So instantly got an image imported, and this is running as a HTML5 game in Internet Explorer 10. So now I want to add some physics to this. To add physics to a game in Construct 2, you add the physics behavior. Behaviors in Construct 2 are sort of pre-packaged functionality. So you can add a physics behavior and it will make objects behave realistically. You can add a car movement and drive an object around as if it's a car, or the eight direction movement, and you can control it with the arrow keys. In this case, all I'm going to do is click on behaviors, and here's a list of behaviors on the pig object. I'm going to click add new, and here's a list of behaviors in Construct 2, all kinds of them. I won't go over them now, except for physics. And as you can see, it simulates realistic physics powered by Box2D.
And you click documentation.
Add. Yeah. So this pig has now got physics on it. Probably a very advanced thing for this pig. you click run, and there's gravity. The pig falls off the bottom of the screen. Isn't that amazing? Good. Are you following? Is this good so far?
No, this is great. And I notice when you add the behavior, there's a series of properties that now get associated with that physics behavior in the left-hand panel.
That's an excellent point. If you look in the properties grid on the left-hand side, there are all kinds of settings for this object, including its position and angle and so on. And when I added the physics behavior, some new properties appear for the physics simulation on the pig, and there are things like the density and the friction and the elasticity, which you can use to adjust the simulation on this object. So you can simulate different kind of material types. If you made the elasticity really high, it would make the pig bounce around like a rubber ball, which again is quite a strange thing for a pig. So what I'm going to do now is I'll add some ground so the pig doesn't just fall off the bottom of the screen. He'll hit the ground and stop. So what I'm going to do this time is add a tiled background, which is simply, it will take an image and repeat it over an area. So this time, if I right click in the layout view and click insert new object, and again, loads of objects in Construct 2, it's got loads of features, can do all kinds of things. Just going to keep to a simple demo for now and insert a tiled background. And press insert, and then I choose where to place it. I'm going to place it near the bottom of the screen. Construct 2 has got its own image editor, just a simple one. This isn't exactly Photoshop, but it allows you to do some simple editing. I'm going to click load an image from a file, and here's my pig game again. I'll go with a greenish block and click open. And if I close the image editor, you can see that is now tiling over the tiled background, which hopefully is what we expected. Now, I'm just going to move this in the layout editor. If you've ever used PowerPoint or any other kind of visual editor, it's fairly straightforward. You just click and drag. You can move things around freely. You can rotate them. And if you hold Control and drag them, you can duplicate all kinds of things and so on. So it's a nice simple editor, hopefully familiar. And
yes,
this time I want to add physics to the ground. So again, I'll go behaviors, add one to the tiled background, and I'm going to add physics. And now if I click run, everything falls off the screen. And that's because the ground is also simulating gravity, so the ground actually falls away into nothing. To get around that, in the properties on the left, you've got immovable, which will simulate the object having infinite mass, so it will be like a piece of the scenery. It's not going to go anywhere. I click yes, and I press run, boink, and our pig lands on the ground.
Yay! Very
good.
Cool.
Are you following?
Oh, most definitely. It's very simple and straightforward.
Great. So yeah, just a few clicks, a few minutes, and we've got some images imported to a HTML5 game, and it's running Box2D physics as well. If you want, this is another great thing about Construct 2 is you can really rapidly prototype games in it, because You can imagine this kind of thing is, even though it's simple, it could take you a lot of code, a lot of JavaScript programming, or a lot of coding in another language, and a lot of expertise just to be able to do that, to be able to reach this kind of point.
Most definitely.
So that's a nice thing about constructors, how quickly you can put things together.
Very cool. I also noticed that when you wanted to create the sprite, you drag and dropped the image in, but when you wanted to create the child background, you right-clicked on the layout and did add new object. Is that because when you drag and drop an image is, by default, it creates it as a sprite?
That's absolutely right, yeah. If I had dragged and dropped this tile in, it would have created a sprite, which if you resize it, you can see, like with a pig, it's stretching it and making it really big. Whereas with a tile background, as I resize it, it will repeat the image. So yes, there are lots of different ways to import images into Constructor. This time I wanted a tiled background, so I did it slightly differently.
Very cool.
Okay.
So I guess the next step then would be to create those yellow blocks that he was balancing on?
Sure, and those are sprites. So again, for those, I can drag and drop those in from Windows Explorer. And you're probably getting used to this now, but I can go behaviors, add a behavior, and to add physics again.
Yeah, okay. It's nice how all the behaviors are grouped by kind of categories.
That's right, yeah. There's several kinds.
Ones,
there's
movement ones, yeah.
General purpose ones, just time savers like destroying it if it goes off the screen and so on. Good. So now we have three physics objects. And they all fall down and land on the floor. Pig rolled over there. It's funny. So now, if I can move these around, and if I hold down Control, I can sort of build a little stack there. And I can select all of those, hold down Control again, drag them over here, and Control and drag again. So now I've created all of those, 9 of them. And I'm going to make one on top as well. So I hold Control, drag again. And I can stretch this out. Like I say, in Construct2's editor, a nice thing is you can freely stretch and resize absolutely everything. So you can, it's really nice for designing levels with a completely freeform editor. Okay, so now if I run this, clicking the play icon in the top left, you'll see the structure sort of, it all lands at the beginning and then it's stable. So this is holding itself up using the Box2D physics engine. I think physics engines are really cool because I don't know how they do it, but this is, all these objects are holding themselves up and it's holding the pig up on top. So now all I need to do is create the events using the non-programming drag and drop event system so that if I click or touch any of these blocks, then they will disappear, which in Construct2 is called destroy. You destroy an object and it's gone.
Excellent. Let's see how to do that.
Great. Now, even though I'm using a mouse, what I'm going to do is insert the touch object into Construct2. Because one of the great things about Windows 8 is how it runs on tablets and has good support for touch input. And it's best to, when you're designing games, you really want to make it touch work on touch devices, if at all possible, because that's where everything is these days. Touchscreen tablets and phones are where you want your games to be running. And if I just double click a space in the layout, and again, out of all these objects, I'm going to choose touch and insert that. And this isn't something I place in the layout, it just enables touch input for the entire project. So this bar which just flashed up there was telling me that object is available to the entire layout. That object is available to the entire project. Now, I'm using a mouse. If I click on the touch object, there's another property on the left here, use mouse input, and that's set to yes. And now, as I'm developing on my desktop, if I left click, that will simulate a single touch. So that doesn't quite cut it if you have a multi-touch game, but for this game, you only need a single touch to destroy each block. So if I make events saying I touched a block, that will also fire if I click on it whilst running the game on my desktop. Makes it nice and quick to test your games are working properly. So now what I need to do is make an event which says if I touch a yellow block, it will destroy it. So I'm going to switch to the event sheet at the top here.
Yep.
I'm going to click Add Event, and I have a list of objects to choose events from, and I want to say on yellow block touched. And it could be in either yellow block or touch, but because it's a touch specific event, it's in the touch object. And from the touch object, I say on object touched, which is on touched object, sorry, which is there, and click next. And which object am I checking for a touch on?
The yellow block.
Choose the yellow block. There it is. Okay, done. And now you can see a block here which says on yellow, on untouched yellow block, and then I can add an action, and the actions will appear to the right of the block, and I can add more blocks beneath it. I can also add other conditions to this block, such as if the yellow block meets a certain, if some property of the yellow block is something, then I can do other things depending on variables and so on. But I'm not going to cover that now. All I'm going to do is say on touched yellow block, add an action, yellow block, next, scroll down, and there's destroy. And it's interesting to see here, there are lots and lots of things you can do to sprite objects. And you see with a different icon here, because we added the physics behavior to this object, there are all kinds of physics actions now available to this object as well. When you add a behavior, you get conditions, actions, and expressions specific to that behavior are automatically added to the object. So I can do things like apply forces, apply impulses, which is like hitting something with a bat. You can create joints like ragdolls and vehicles and so on. It's all very cool. It's all quite advanced as well, so I'm going to keep it nice and simple again. All I want to do is destroy the yellow block. Done. Now, this is a nice, simple, readable, on-touch yellow block destroy. Didn't do any programming at all there. And it's nice. I think hopefully as a beginner, that's nice and simple and quick and easy to get going with. Even young people like teenagers and students and people can use this to make quite sophisticated games.
I've actually was going to say exactly that. I've been working with some students as well in schools, and they are just loving this. And the thing that's cool, though, is that if you're, say, a college student and you wanted to you're getting started with programming, the thing that's neat is that, you know, after they create the game here, they can look at the JavaScript and HTML that you generate from the tool and then learn something.
So, yes, that's great. We really think Construct 2 is great in education, and there are a number of schools using it. So that's another great aspect of Construct 2. Let's see this event in action. What I'm going to do is click run again. And now if I click on, which also means touch, one of these blocks, it disappears. It's destroyed. And you can see the physics engine is simulating everything according to which blocks are created and destroyed. So instant results. There you go. Another cool thing about that is because I use the touch object using mouse input, if I then export this to Windows 8 and run it on a Windows 8 tablet with a touch screen, you really can touch those blocks and it will destroy them as well. So I've instantly made a touch input supporting game without having to worry about having two methods of input. I don't have to make mouse events and then make touch events. I can just do everything with a touch object.
Very good.
Okay, so that's a little bit simpler than the demo I showed you earlier, but shall I quickly show you how exporting to Windows 8 works?
Yes, I think that would be the next step. You've built an amazing game here. Now how do we get that exported as a Windows 8 application so that way we can put it in the Windows Store?
Okay, so now I'm going to export this project to Windows 8. And to do that, I click on the File menu and choose Export Project. So this is what you would do when you want to publish your finished game. And as you can see, there are lots of export options. There are loads of platforms you can get your game on. Today, we're going to have a look at Windows 8. And a few options here for when you're exporting your game, a few compression options to minimize the file size and so on. The most important one is just the folder at the top here where the files are going to go. This is by default, it's just the Piggy game folder on my desktop, which is fine. So I'm going to click export. Construct 2 thinks about it for a bit and then it's done. So I'm going to open the folder where the files are from, and here they are. Now this has exported a Visual Studio 2012 solution, and the main file for a Visual Studio project is the .sln solution file. So to open this project, I'm going to double click on that. Here's Visual Studio, and there's one thing I need to change before I can test the game. You need to set up a test certificate. This is not something Construct 2 can do for you, so you just have to open the package manifest, and you can see there's a cross by packaging here. So I'm going to click on that tab, and it doesn't know which publisher to use. So I'm going to click Choose Certificate. In Configure Certificate, drop down here, select Create Test Certificate. I don't need to enter a username or password here. I can just click OK and click OK again. And now the cross is gone, everything's set up, it's got my name as the publisher. So now I can test the game on my...
I was just going to say, when you submit an app to the store, it will replace that with a new certificate based on your live ID as a developer. So it's not a concern that there's not a password or anything right now, since this is just for testing.
Absolutely. That's just, you're right, that's just a test certificate, so I can run it on my local computer. So now I'm going to click local machine at the top here, the play button, and this will run the game as a Windows 8 app. And I'm just going to move that over to my other monitor, and you should be able to see the game running here. And this is a Windows 8 app, and I can click or touch on the blocks, and our Piggy is falling down. So that's that's the game running in Windows 8.
Very cool. And then I know there's a wonderful blog post that you have on the Skira website on how to scale well for different form factors, essentially. The one thing about the Windows 8 thing is, for a great Windows 8 experience, it's great if your game truly does run full screen. And so it would be fairly straightforward in Construct 2 to change the size of the window. That's another one of the properties. And then you can have it really truly be a full screen as opposed to running kind of in the top corner.
That's right. There are a variety of ways of getting your game to run on different screen sizes. The easiest one in Construct 2 is in project properties again. There's a property here called full screen and browser. Drop down here, there's crop, which will just make the window size whatever the screen size is. There's scale, which will scale up the game, resize it, stretch it up to fill the whole screen. But the problem with crop and scale is the problem of aspect ratios, and lots of people have headaches over this, where you have two different, slightly different shaped screens where one's not a perfect zoom of the other. They have a different width height ratio, and that can mean if you draw your artwork at one particular size, on one screen it will look fine, and on another slightly wider screen you might have sort of white spaces or objects off the screen you're not supposed to see visible. The easiest way to get around that is the same kind of problem you get on TV, showing films on their TV size screen, is you put in letterbox scale. And what that does is it'll stretch it, but if the screen isn't the same aspect ratio as your window, it'll put black bars down the side, like you might have seen black bars on TV movies along the top and bottom. It's that kind of idea. Right. Now, if I press run, here it is in Internet Explorer, a lot bigger. And if I just start stretching it, you can see black bars at the top and bottom, and there at the left and right. And now when I run that game as a Windows 8 app, it will take up the whole screen and show black bars at the sides if the aspect ratio does not match.
Very good. And we can put a link to that blog post, because you did an excellent post on the website that describes those options in detail. And so we could put a link to that particular article in the show notes.
That's right. I think it was in the tutorial section. I don't think it came up on that blog, but same thing, yeah.
Sorry, an article.
Is there anything else you want to go over about Construct 2?
No, I think folks have seen the basics. We were able to create a game, a pretty compelling game. I guess there's one other thing is can we take a look at the Windows 8 object?
You added
a great Windows 8 object that contains a lot of information on how to implement live tiles, but how to push information to tiles and how to do other things that are specific new Windows 8 features. Could we look at that real briefly?
Sure, yeah. So
let's just add it to the layout and then maybe show some of the conditions and actions.
Sure, yeah. If you switch back to the layout and double-click in the space, like we did with the touch object, this time we have some platform-specific objects which allow you to take advantage of each platform's unique features. Like in Windows 8, you have the snap view, you have live tiles, and so on. So if you double-click on that, again, it's not an object I place in the layout. It's just available to the whole project. And if I go to the event sheet and add an event, I can choose events from the Windows 8 object. And I click Next. And here's all the features that are specific to Windows 8, which you can now access from Construct 2. So you've got things like purchase support, roaming data, which is like save games synced between all your devices. You can have things like on view state changed, and you can choose snapped. And now this means in Windows 8, when you change to snapped view, so it's in a little narrow column down the side of the screen, you can do something like pause the game. And just to quickly show you, to pause the game, you choose the system object, and you set the time scale. So you don't say pause. The time scale is like how quickly the game progresses. So if you set it to half, the game will go into slow motion mode and go half as fast, which is pretty cool. But then when you want to pause, you say set the time scale to zero, and the game no longer starts moving. What you could also do is create a layer saying the game is paused, please unsnap to continue, and show that layer in as another action. It's up to you how you handle snap. And if you add an action, you can choose the Windows 8 object, and there are some actions here specific to Windows 8, such as setting the live tile text. You can do things like share HTML or an image of an object.
Right, using the share charm.
That's right. Or a data URI, which if you haven't used it before, is like a long URL with an image encoded into it in Base64. So the reason that's there is you can take a screenshot of a game in Construct 2, and then you can share that screenshot as an image, and the image will be shared as a data URI. That's just how it works. So there's lots of Windows 8 specific features you can use there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ashley. That was an awesome demo, and I hope people are as excited about developing with Construct 2 as I am. I honestly do have a couple of projects in the hopper using Construct 2, and it is just such a fun tool because it makes it so easy to develop these really fun, addicting games. So I did want to mention a couple things. I love the tutorials on your site. If folks are interested in doing more with Construct 2, we'll put a link in the show notes to a couple of basic tutorials. There's one that allows you to create a ghost shooter game that teaches you the basics of a lot of the things you can do in Construct 2, and you can go through it in like an hour, less than an hour. And then there's also a very good one for a platformer game if you wanted to do something a la Super Mario Brothers, where you have a little guy running through a world and jumping up on walls and stuff like that. There's an intro to that as well. So some great tutorials. So we'll make sure to include links to that in the show notes. And then next, I wanted to make sure that I've in my work with Construct 2, I've actually am working on a series of blog posts. So feel free to check out my blog and learn a little bit more about how you can add support for your Windows 8 applications inside of Construct 2. And my blog is blogs.msdn.com/Jennifer. And then finally, I want to make sure everyone knows about our Generation App program. The link for that is http://aka www.ms.wacgenapp, where it's J-E-N, like my name, G-E-N-A-P-P. And the Generation App program is very nice. Essentially, they will send you tips. There's a 30-to-launch program for both Windows 8, Windows Phone, and a couple other things. I think there's a gaming-specific one as well that actually uses Construct 2 as one of the options. So if you go there and you register for one of these things, what they'll do is help you build an app in 30 days. And so they send you tips and tricks where once a day, or you can actually change it so you get them once a week compiled. But you can get tips and tricks for how to build your game. So essentially, it's a step-by-step of do this, then do this, then do this. And then by the end, you have a game or an app for Windows 8 at the end of the 30 days. And so definitely check that out. Just the step-by-step thing is very cool. But even cooler is that with the program, they also give you technical support. So there's one-on-one free tech support from a Windows architect, which is incredible. And then there's also free design consultations. And oh my goodness, I would have killed for that. I don't think Microsoft employees are eligible for it. But I would have loved to have a design person look at my thing, because that's not one of the places where I'm very gifted in the design realm. So having a designer look at my apps before submitting and making them look a little more polished and professional would have been incredible. So all of that is offered through the Generation App program. Definitely check it out. Again, it's aka.ms.gen app, G-E-N-G-E-N-A-P-P. All right. Any last things, Ashley, that you'd like to say? Do you have a blog?
Yes, we've got a blog on the Skiver website. We post occasional updates. There's a competition running there at the moment, actually. You could win a Windows 8 tablet and a Nokia phone as well. So that might be something new Construct 2 developers might want to get involved in. But you have to be quick, because you have to get your apps accepted by December the 21st.
All right. Well, best of luck with everyone on that competition. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ashley. Have a good one.
No worries. You too.